picture a little bit further forward because I think it's worth taking a look at. That was awesome having Marcus do that. Thanks, Tom and Jamie. Great parents who are raising their kids. It's so fun to be able to tell Bible stories to your kids and then have them kind of illustrate it and bring it out a little bit. You can see we're talking about Jonah this morning, and many of you are familiar with the story of Jonah, and we're going to be taking it kind of one chapter at a time. So, I don't want to steal the thunder from Peter, who's speaking next week or anything like that, but thanks, Peter. But we do know that Jonah there, the little green guy, ends up in the water. That's where he's going this morning. And there's a lot of other green guys up on the boat. And I'm not sure what they're saying at this point, but you can see the storm and the darkness and the perfect storm at sea. And we want to kind of focus in on that part of the story this morning and look at Jonah and what he's about. I'm going to read the first part of the Jonah story to you from Jonah chapter 1. And then, because it's a long reading, we're going to take a little break. And we're going to show you a video at the break, because I think to introduce the story, there's nothing better than some VeggieTales to get us in the mood for a story and to see Jonah as an asparagus this morning. And some of you will go, well, that just, that's 6 minutes of my life I'll never get back when we show you that video. And others of you go, I'm going to go and watch the video after this. But they do embellish and make it a little different. But here's the story. We're going to read the actual story here. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. To introduce this, we're going to show a little bit of VeggieTales this morning to get you thinking about where Nineveh is. And I think what's really great about this video, it goes through a little bit of the process of Jonah hearing from God and saying, now what am I going to do with this unexpected message from God?
Do what's right, don't provoke. Put more tassels on your cloak. Do not laugh, it's not a joke. A message from the Lord.
Don't do drugs, stay in school.
This is Tuttle of Rue. Follow them and you're no fooler.
Follow them and you're no fooler.
Follow them and you're no fooler.
A message from the Lord.
Follow them and you're no fooler. A message from the Lord.
Follow a message from the Lord.
All right. Good show, everyone. Thank you very much.
That was pretty much Jonah's life. Town to town, bringing God's messages to his friends. Not a bad gig overall. So every night before he went to sleep, Jonah would pray and ask God if there was a new message for him to deliver. And this night, there was a message that would change Jonah's life.
A new message? Yes. What's that? People being unkind? Lying? Stealing? Oh, dear. Sounds like a standard turn and repent to me. All right, name the town. I'll be on my way first thing in the morning. Where is it? Jericho? Damascus? What? Nineveh? I'm not aware of any Ninevehs in Israel. No, I don't think... Oh... You mean that Nineveh?
That Nineveh wasn't in Israel at all. It was the capital of Assyria, and it was the biggest, meanest city around. Now, the people of Nineveh were particularly mean to Jonah's people, the Israelites. They lied, they stole, but worst of all, they slapped people with fishes. They even slapped each other with fishes. They didn't know the difference between right and wrong. The Ninevites were so mean, in fact, that most Israelites, including Jonah, wished God would just wipe Nineveh off the face of the earth. Needless to say, Jonah was shocked that God would want him to deliver a message to his enemies.
You don't want me to go there. You don't know what Nineveh is like. Perhaps you've never been there. Well, of course you haven't. A god like you would never go to a place like Nineveh. For that matter, neither would a prophet like me. Oh. No, it cannot be. Your messages are meant for me and my brothers. We are your chosen people. Nineveh? Well, they're not. There must be some mistake, a big misunderstanding. It's really hard to take. How could you be so demanding? For years I've been your messenger, from Morasheth to Gath. But Nineveh should get no chance to turn. They've earned your wrath. No, it cannot be. Your messages are meant for me and my brothers. We are your chosen people. And Nineveh? Well, they're not! We're the good guys and they're the bad guys! Please don't send me there with a message of your mercy! Damascus or Jerusalem, I'll be there in a minute. Any town in Israel, just ask me, I'll be in it! Shiloh, Gilgal, Jericho, just say the word. But Nineveh, that is just absurd. Joppa, Aphek, Jezreel, they're all just fine. But Nineveh... Oh, Nineveh. No, Nineveh is where I draw the line. No, it cannot be. Your messages are meant for me.
Yep, it sounded like God wanted to offer Moisey to the Ninevites.
The tow truck's on its way. You know, Junior, I love your dad and all, but that's the last time I pick him for a co-pilot. What's going on?
Ahem. We're telling a little story. You should listen, too. As I was saying, it sounded like God wanted to offer mercy to Jonah's enemy.
What's mercy?
It's what this whole story is about.
I thought it was about compassion. Remember? The menu?
Yeah. Oh, there's that, too.
Better check your menu again. We got two specials today, and they go hand in hand.
Compassion is when you want to help someone who needs help. Mercy is when you give someone a second chance, even if they don't deserve it. This story is about both of them.
That's right, my cucumber friend. You can't have Moisey without compassion. But Moisey is even more important. Jonah was afraid God was going to give Nineveh a second chance, and that he was going to help them, even though they didn't deserve it.
So, what did he do?
Well, never before had he gotten a message from God that he didn't want to deliver. He didn't know what to do.
Morning, Jonah. What's the word?
What? Nothing! There is no word!
Nothing? At all?
No! Nothing at all! Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm very busy!
Morning, Jonah. What's the word?
Stop it! There is no word! Nothing! I've got to get out of here!
All right. So a little bit of VeggieTales to set us up this morning. What we have here is a story about a prophet. And he had a message from God. And the duty of a prophet was to say, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying through me, both to me and through me to the people? It's an important thing. It's an important thing for each of us. And I know even coming to church on a Sunday morning, you're here because you're going, you know what, God, you must have something to say to me. And I want to be open to hear it. Now for Jonah, hearing these stories, hearing God's message to him, it actually had been, like it said in there, a pretty good gig. He had done all right. He was living in Israel at the time. At the time, Israel was sort of was doing well economically, but spiritually they were really struggling. And it seemed that Jonah, up until that point in time, it had messages that were very good for the people. There's a reference to it in 2 Kings that talks about how it had been received well during Jonah's time. But now he got a message that wasn't just for them and for his people and the people that he liked, but was actually for people that, well, they hated them. This is the kids, you know, edition here of VeggieTales about fish slapping, but it was actually much worse than that. The people of Nineveh were known for genocide. They were known for the worst kinds of evil you can imagine. And they were hated enemies of Israel. In fact, contemporaries of Jonah's day would have been Amos and Obadiah. They had words to say, and it could be that Jonah even was familiar with a prediction that the Ninevites were going to take over their country, which they did. 40 years later, they came in and wiped them out. So Jonah was like, I'm not going there. I am not going there. God, you are asking me to do something that is just too much. I can't swallow this. I love how he comes out of the tent and they're saying, you know, the people are just waiting. So what's the word, Jonah? So what word? I don't know anything about this. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly about, you know, Jonah arguing with God or what it was about, but the reality is that he took off in the opposite direction. So like that map showed, there was Nineveh, which was like 500 miles kind of to the north, and Jonah, this is across land, Jonah goes to the port of Joppa, present-day Jaffa and Tel Aviv, and gets on a boat going the exact opposite direction. He goes to Tarshish, which is like 2,000 miles the other direction. We're talking Spain. You know, present-day Spain is what they think is what Tarshish was. He went the exact opposite direction. Now, the message that Jonah had is actually only 8 words long, and we'll talk about that in a future week. But what's really fascinating is kind of studying Jonah and studying the kind of God that was there for Jonah, the kind of God that we have today as well. And we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. But he goes and he heads the other direction, and it wasn't long before a violent storm threatened to sink the ship. And we'll pick up the next part of the passage at that point. And it says, but all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. Sometimes when you feel a little guilty and things aren't going great, you just want to be off by yourself. So he falls asleep. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. And when they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? And Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the land and the sea. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why'd you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh, Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent the storm upon us for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked Jonah up, threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. An amazing story, a dramatic story. It's incredible to look at it and see that while this whole storm was going on, there was Jonah asleep in the bottom of the ship, and here's the the sailor's going, get up here, join the prayer meeting, call out to your God. Something's got to happen. They end up kind of doing the equivalent of tossing dice found out that Jonah's number came up. Jonah told the sailors to toss him overboard. The storm would stop. We don't really know whether he was sacrificially heroic or just suicidally fatalistic. Whatever it was, Jonah confessed that he was running for God. The sailors didn't want to toss him. They tried to row in the other direction. They tried to get rid of more cargo, but finally they threw him overboard. And the God of the land and the sea, he just stopped the storm right there. Now, I'm sure Jonah must have figured life was over. This is sort of like the ending to the Titanic. The waves would overpower him. He would die. But it appears that God was not finished with him. There's a God of the second chance. And it says in Jonah 1:17, it says, the Lord arranged a fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. We're going to continue that story next week, but enough to say that sometimes, I just want to speak to it, sometimes this story is kind of put in the story, you know, in the, like a folk tale, an urban legend. People have a hard time with the story sometimes. Other than the Genesis 1 creation account, it seems that not another story seems to kind of create as much skepticism about the Bible. But here's the thing. If God, and this is what again and again this passage has to tell us, there is a big, sovereign, omnipotent God who is over top of nature, who can do things that are completely unnatural, supernatural. It doesn't really cause too much of a brain cramp. If God can do that, if he can make the whole world, then he can actually do something supernatural, like keep a man alive in a fish for 3 days and three nights. In fact, we just went through Resurrection Sunday last week and celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. And it's interesting that Jesus actually referred to this, and I won't read the whole passage, but it says people came to him again and again, and they wanted to see his miracles because Jesus was doing incredible things. He showed his power over the sea. You saw that when Jesus walked on water. He showed his power over just horrific things, debilitating illnesses. He actually raised people to life. And people would come to him for miracles, and it says, Jesus replied in verse 39, an evil, adulterous generation demands a miraculous sign, but I will show you a sign. It's going to be the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. What we have in the story of Jesus, in the actual account of Jesus, is him beating death, coming back to life from the dead. And I don't believe Jesus would refer to a folk tale and make a reference to his death and resurrection. So we have here a story that in some ways defies what's natural, but we do see a God who is continually at work. He's a God of the second chance. And sometimes God will do even what is supernatural in order to bring people in line with him. Now, it's easy to see the mistake Jonah went. He disobeyed God. He went the wrong direction. The interesting thing in this story is to see how God deals with that. What does he do when somebody goes that way? Jonah went in the wrong direction. And his path got him into deep trouble. It got him way over his head. But when he turned to God, God was there. He bailed him out. God disrupted Jonah's travel plans because he loved Jonah enough to give him a second chance. I love that about God. There are times when we may say, you know what, God, that plan that you have for me or what you're asking me to do, it seems very, very difficult. And if we go the other direction, God sometimes will disrupt our travel plans. And it is quite a wake-up call to us to realize, you know, if we are talking about a God that is that great, if we choose to go a different way, if we choose to go off course, he may persuade us back on course again. We may find that the winds are blowing against us. And it's not a great place to be. Can you imagine the terror, the panic? I know the little bit, I haven't been out on the ocean that much, but you know, whether it be a little bit of snorkeling or whatever, that's a great, big, stormy, deep, scary deal. And these are seasoned sailors, but they were in panic mode, absolute panic mode. sometimes our lives, the course of our lives, and we just say, and it might be in little ways, we just say, God, no, no, no. But we get in this path and God says, you know what? I'm going to intervene because it's actually in your best interests to get in line with my plans. And it's quite a challenge to us. It really is. It's God saying, you know what? I love you. And for Jonah, traveling to Tarshish in rebellion was not in his best interest. And God says, I want to give you another chance. God would not let Jonah forget him. And I find what's interesting in this story, it's kind of a sidebar, but it is very significant in this chapter, is that here we have a group of sailors. Now, you know what sailors are oftentimes known for. They oftentimes aren't incredibly spiritually sensitive. But here they were in this situation just kind of going, okay, we're desperate. And they're calling out to every kind of god, lowercase god, they can imagine. And here's Jonah, sleeping in the bottom of the ship. It is fascinating to see how he gets sought out and how they interrogate him, how they go after him and find out what it is, and how God uses the circumstances, even of something like, you know, kind of a chance game like that. I want to read that those verses again, just because it's so fascinating how the whole thing comes down. It says, when the crew cast lots to see which one of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm, when they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? It's like he goes into like interrogation mode with this guy. We've nailed you. And it's interesting how Jonah had to come to terms with who he was, with what he knew God had been doing in his life, and brought him back to his initial calling. Much to his chagrin, he had to say to them, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And it's interesting their response. It's like something happened in these sailors. They go, okay, we're talking about something that's much bigger than whatever spiritualism we might be pursuing. They just got terrified. And I don't imagine these guys were very prone to this, but they say, oh my goodness, you're running away from the Lord? I love this. Oh, why'd you do it? They groan. It's like, you brought this on us. Like, why do we have somebody like you here on our ship? You know, God will do whatever to get our attention sometimes. There isn't a limit. If we're trying to ignore him, God, the God of the sea and the land, he'll bring us back. And there's kind of a challenge to that, but there's also a comfort in that, in knowing that God's saying, you know what, I will stick by you. I'll be there for you. I'm there to help you. What have you done? They asked him. You know, it's like they're just a statement of horror at this question. They seem to grasp the seriousness of it. And sometimes, you know, when we go down a path that isn't along God's path, it can affect people around us. It can affect our job situation. It can affect our family. It can affect those around us, our lives. And Jonah does whatever, for whatever reason. And Peter's going to go down to the story of what Jonah kind of responds after he gets thrown in. But, you know, it cost a price. There was a price to pay. But God is there. And it's amazing how he works to continue to work in the circumstances of Jonah's life. He gives a storm in verse 4. He gives these sailors along the way to remind Jonah of who he is. And he gives a fish to swallow him. Jonah was trying to run from God, but he couldn't escape God's sovereignty. Jonah ran. God pursued. God is a God who goes after us, and he says, you know what? I love you. I want to care for you. And even if you go against my call in your life, I'm there for you. And if there's some applications for our life, there are many. One of them would be, do we know the call that God has on our lives? Now, there's some real specific things in the Bible. There's, you know, his commands, his words to us, his saying, you know, this is right, this is wrong. Really, don't be like the Ninevites, like it says, who didn't know right from wrong. Know what is right. Get to know what God has for you on a kind of on that macro level of how to live. But he's also saying, you know what, I have a call for you that sometimes it might be a tough assignment, but it will be good. It will result in good. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. But his desire is to bless all people. He really longs to do that. That is, God made this world with that intent. And he also says, you know what, if you see the way you're going, and you know that it's wrong, you can turn. And there's a blessing in turning. God's motives in bringing things into our lives is to bring us to a point where we say, you know what, I'm willing to go there. And if we willfully go another way, it's like, I'm going to bring you back. And he had a way of doing that with Jonah. And we might look at our lives and say, well, first of all, have I stopped? Am I listening to what God's message is for me? You know, to credit Jonah, he was listening to God. But then when he did hear something that he didn't like, then he kind of just said, oh, okay, well, he got pretty defiant. We might find ways when we say, you know what, God, I know you're asking me to do this, but, you know, it might be in a relationship. It might be in a calling that he's given on our lives. But we sometimes say, you know what, I'm going to just kind of go this. I'll just ignore it, whatever. And God says, you know what, I will not be ignored. I'm going to come back into your life. I'm going to enter in. And he might provide a ship. There was a ship for him to go the other direction. But he might intervene along the way too. And sometimes it's good for us to stop and say, what's the course of my life? Where am I going? Maybe that's the challenge this morning. We're going to look at some other kind of messages that come out of this story down the road. But as we kind of introduce this story, I think we can sometimes see ourselves in Jonah. And we say, you know what? I need to come back to God. I need to pray to him. I need to say, God, what is it that you have for me? And I'm willing to do it, even if it means making that tough call in whatever situation it might be. God loves us. His forgiveness is full. It's free. He says, you know, if you're going the wrong way, I can forgive. I will forgive. I'll restore. I'll bring you back. Being in fellowship with God brings us back into a place where we're filled again and we're able to be used by him. We're going to find out more about that in the coming weeks. We come to God and we say, God, I'm willing. You're sovereign. You're in charge. I'll go your direction in my life. If you're here this morning, you say, I want to do that again. I want to give you an opportunity. You can do that. Just in your own heart and mind, just use your own words and just say, God, thanks for another chance. I might feel like I've used up my chance, but we never do. God gives us another chance, a second and a third, a second chance again and again. I can get back on track, and it can be immediate. I can get back in track with God right away through a prayer, through an attitude, through a heart that says, I'm going that direction. Let's close in prayer. God, I just want to thank you for the way in which we can see ourselves in these stories in the Bible, the way we're much like Jonah sometimes. And we might avoid your call, rebel against it, turn away, but you always call us back. And sometimes there's a storm, sometimes there's people around us, whatever it might be, that call us back. And God, I just pray that this morning again, you'll just call us back into line with what you want to do in our lives. This morning, I just want to give an opportunity. If you just want to say, God, whatever, whoever, however, I'm willing to do that. I just want to give you a moment to just, whatever that thing is for you, take care of that. God, I thank you that your plans are for us are good. And your plans for, you want to work through us because you have plans for others that are good. And when we follow your call, you can do amazing things in our lives. And you can bring us to a place of blessing and wholeness and fulfillment. I thank you that your forgiveness is free. It's complete. And just like you came back to life again after 3 days, Lord, I just thank you that our lives can come back to life again. And you use us and you work through us. And I thank you that you are a God of grace, of mercy, and of compassion. And we really value that as human beings, God. And I just thank you that you bring us there. In your name, amen.
This is the most amazing good news. Isn't this amazing, amazing, amazing good news? There's always a second chance, another chance with God. There's nowhere else that you can go to get this good news other than Jesus. Jesus is the only one who offers us and gives us, freely gives us this good news of second, third, however many chances you need. They're always there. Please stand with us. Looking